Well, for the sake of Mother's Day, I have some quotes for you from people. I will mention names when it's significant as far as who quoted it, but one author said, "Being a mother means that your heart is no longer yours. It wanders wherever your children do." A mother's love for her child is like nothing else in the world. It knows no law, no pity. It dares all things and crushes down remorselessly all that stands in its path. That was Agatha Christie. Every mother is like Moses. She does not enter the promised land. She prepares a world she will not see. Most of all the other beautiful things in life come by twos and threes, by dozens and hundreds. Plenty of roses, stars, sunsets, rainbows, brothers, sisters, aunts, and cousins. But only one mother in the whole world. Michael Jordan said this, "My mother is my root, my foundation. She planted the seed that I base my life on, and that is the belief that the ability to achieve starts in your mind." A mother is she who can take the place of all others, but whose place no one else can take. I like that one. A mother is she who can take the place of all others, but whose place no one else can take. And lastly, Bill Keane said this, "Of course I'd like to be the ideal mother, but I'm too busy raising children." And so mothers, in terms of just what I would share with you, it's always a challenging thing for me as a pastor to speak on Mother's Day, and I see no reason not to be in the book of Philippians where we are, because it really does speak to the dynamics of what you would bring to your family, and I believe what God would encourage you in terms of your life. And so we will just continue, and hopefully you will appreciate the connections that I make in terms of what Paul says here. So just setting the context of these verses in verse 14 in chapter 2 of the book of Philippians says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing." Thankfully, we already covered that, moms, so you won't have to deal with that again. "So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life in order they may boast on the day of Christ that it did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me." And so therefore we saw last week, in terms of just the blameless and the purity being juxtaposed to this crooked and depraved generation. So therefore, in light of that and what we would do in response to that, particularly as a mother, understanding the world to be crooked and depraved, what do we do? The first thing we do is we be straight and be pure. Now I use that straight in reference to the fact that crooked is referencing the fact that God gives a straight way. So it's not the way you would normally think of that in terms of just what you bring as a parent, as a mother, in terms of recognizing the truth of God, recognizing the straight path that he has. I mean, to think how the world has corrupted that, how the world has defied the standards of God, redefined the standards of God, come up with their own standards. What you would be as a mom and what I believe is part of many of your hearts is, again, looking at the straight way, looking at the word of God, looking at what God would say in the context of the situation we are in, and again, providing a straight way, living in the straight way, and then providing a straight way to your children, and also being pure. You know, certainly we are in a dynamic winter world where women are trying to have their day and feminism and women's rights and so on and so forth. And part of what that includes is I, as a woman, can do whatever a man does, right? And that's great, and that's awesome, but don't be impure, don't be vulgar, you know, don't take that on in terms of what a man brings. You know, what is important to recognize is that you oftentimes are more oriented to faith, you're more oriented to spiritual things, you're more oriented to purity. See, you care about relationships, you care about people, you care about how your life affects other people far more than a man does. And in many ways, that's what purity is about in terms of me living in a standard that maintains relationships, that is faithful to the things that someone else would desire from me, Again, you are often the banner waver. You are often the conscience of the family. Not a man. Not that a man shouldn't be or can't be, but there's just an aspect of what you bring as a mother that is, again, about the straight way. It's about the pure way in terms of how you would act. I mean, another thing that we would do in terms of reacting to a world that is crooked and depraved is guard against its influence, to recognize that, you know, the world is pervasive in terms of its thinking, its dynamic, its perception, its ideas, and how it comes through every aspect of media, of television, of print, of books, comedy, whatever it might be, in terms of the subtle influence that is there that is directing us against God. You know, basically, the primary question we have in our lives is, am I going to be a person of flesh, or am I going to be a person of spirit? And the only thing the world can understand, people outside of God can understand, is flesh. What gratifies me? What satisfies me? What's fun? Well, what makes me at peace? What makes me comfortable? And that's what they're oriented to. But we come with a dynamic and understanding that, no, it's spirit. It's something of faith that's more important. It's actually what you can't see that's more important than what you can see. But to see that that influence is there. You know, I think about the materialism that is in the world and how that is just so pervasive in terms of just thinking that that's the thing. That's the thing that's going to bring contentment. That's the thing that's going to bring happiness. That's the thing that's going to satisfy you. But it's all a trap. Everything the world offers, again, you get one thing and what do you want? The minute you get one thing, you want another. And then you want another. Like that's the trap of seeking things of the flesh, because the flesh is never satisfied. But to recognize that influence in terms of your life, moms, but then certainly your children, and how exponentially the influence of the world is greater for them in terms of a world that is, you know, so deceptively and powerfully rejecting God and not recognizing that the nature of his glory, the nature of his truth, the nature of our lives being oriented to him. And so that influence that is in your children, again, guarding against that. Certainly, again, the thing we do in terms of engaging with a crooked and depraved generation is save it. We have the good news. We have the gospel. And that is true. And there is power in the gospel. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of man. And so, therefore, you have to recognize that when you reject the gospel, you're fighting against something. Like, to me, it's not about an ability to believe. It's about a willingness to believe. Like, you are able to believe. The knowledge of God, the manifestation of God in terms of creation, even the influence of Christ that is within you, just the knowledge you have of someone living on this earth, doing miraculous things, dying, and then being raised from the dead. And he did that for the benefit of your soul, for the salvation of your soul, for the fact that you can spend eternity in heaven with God. See, that is the truest message, but it is a powerful message. And so therefore, to reject that, you have to come up with power. Like, you have to fight that. And so to recognize that when we face a crooked and depraved generation that even doesn't even regard the truth, like, they really don't want to think about how true it is that God exists. You know, because then if God exists, now I'm accountable to him. They don't really want to think about, well, Jesus, like, he was raised, like, what? They just want to live their lives. They just want to do what they want to do. And so we are really pointing them to a greater reality. I think another thing that we do in terms of understanding the world to be crooked and depraved, what do? We just don't expect much. You know, we have this online Bible reading where people make comments, and, you know, one person was saying, like, how bad can it get? How bad can the world get? It's already crooked and depraved. How more crooked and depraved can it become? And my comment was, a lot. My response back is, a lot. It can get a lot worse than it is, and it will. You know, we have to recognize that what Jesus says, the primary thing that Jesus says in terms of what the end will bring, is a great deception. And a great deception that even the elect, even those who were saved, if it weren't for the Spirit, if it weren't for the protection of God, they too would be influenced. Again, that is the nature of what we are fighting against. But now when it comes to the world, like, why did that person do that? Why did they talk that way? Why did they think that way? Because they're outside of Christ. What do you expect? And so that is what we do with the crooked and depraved generation. But again, as Paul points to, you know, that crooked and depraved generation is in opposition to the blameless, pure children of God without fault that we would be. But what happens when we are that way? What happens, moms, when you are that way? And this is what makes me think of you. I mean, the purity thing does too. But you shine like stars. You shine like stars in your universe. You know, when you think about what the stars are, they are pretty amazing in terms of what you do when you look up at the night sky and you see this light that is literally billions and billions of miles away. And so each of those stars is as bright or brighter than our sun, and yet they are unmistakable. Like, you can't look at the sky and not recognize that they're there. And again, that is the power and influence of your life. That is the power and influence of your life as a mom, that in the context of a human being's life, there really is no one that has a greater connection to a child than you. To realize that that human being was inside you for hopefully 9 months, hopefully for an extended period of time, hearing your heartbeat, hearing your voice, having all your stuff interacting with their stuff. And then they come out. And, you know, if you chose to do this, they're feeding on you. Their life is dependent on you. The bomb that is happening. One of the worst things that has happened in our society is to minimize that to a birthing person. Let's take out the idea of being a mother and let's call it just a birthing person, like it's only physiological. Like the only thing that's happened in the context of that is you happen to have an ovary, you happen to have a uterus, so that you're just performing. Please. All that is happening in the connection in the heart of a mother that is being translated to a child, I promise you, you do shine like a star. Maybe the question is, are you a good star or you're a bad star? Because you will make a mark on your children. Your children will be more likely to be like you than not like you. And so therefore, God has put a dynamic in the context of a family that I think is more significant than even what a father brings in terms of just the connection that you have. See, and beyond just the connection that comes in biology because they're inside you, you're feeding them, whatever it might be, is the heart you have. The fact that you care about your children more than the dad does. Just realize that. Like, men just are more selfish, more prideful, more about themselves. Well, there you go. Well, I'm telling like it is, right? You know, we all, but see, there's a point God had in mating us that way. You know, the fact, you know, I'm going to bring this up later, but the fact that a man can disconnect himself from things, it really is our ninja skill. Like the fact that we cannot think about things, that we can go from this thing and like women go to men and say, why aren't you thinking about this? Why do you care about this? Because it would just take too much time. It would just take too much energy. And by the way, I have something more important thing to do. I have to go watch the baseball game. I have to go play the video. Like that is like, but you as moms, again, you are embedded. You are intertwined in your kids' lives. And so therefore, your heart towards them just allows even a greater aspect where you shine like a star. You know, you think about the number of times that professional people that are getting awards, what do? I thank my mom, right? Every now and then, there's a shout out to a dad, but dollars to donuts, it's the mom, because you have an indelible connection. My encouragement to you is make that connection godly. Make that connection about Christ, the things of Christ. You know, I would even say in the context of this, when you, again, you think about the influence you could have. I mean, I think that's what Paul is talking about, the influence that he's having on the Philippians, the influence the Philippians are having on him, so on and so forth. But as you seek to be shine like a light before your kids, and you find them straying away, you find them following things that are inconsistent with what you believe or what you think, just realize that even if they are rejecting the standards that you keep, they cannot deny the heart you have. They cannot deny the peace you have, the honesty you have, the purity you have, the love you have, the kindness you have. See, those are the things that they can't disagree with. How can someone not benefit from someone else being consistent? Being self-aware, like knowing who they are, knowing where they stand, knowing, not having fear, not having insecurity. That is undeniable. See, what I find amazing to people that, well, maybe just in my life, okay, you're following this way that is against the things of God, and you're all insecure. You're all afraid. Oh, I can't go to sleep without taking this or that. I'm going to take a hit of this. Really? Like, you need that to make it through life? Well, what does that say about the standard you're keeping? What does it say about what you're depending on? You know, basically, that's a sign to me that that crooked and depraved nature is leading to bad things in your heart, bad things in your life. And so therefore, as you shine like stars, even like you should shine the standards, you should talk about this is the truth, this is the lie, but don't make that the bread and butter. Make the bread and butter is that, again, I'm a loving person, I'm a kind person, I'm an honest person. You can always come to me, and I'm in the same place I was yesterday because the circumstances of life don't matter. How people treat me doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus. And I tell you, that shines. That shines more than you saying, I know the rules, and this is what's wrong. So, there you go. You shine like stars. And in a world so dark, it is true, the brighter we become. You know, when as the world does bear with and be affected by the crooked and depraved nature of the world, that starts having implications. That starts creating a hardness. It creates a selfishness, a pridefulness, a dismissiveness. And so therefore, as people are affected by that, now as we as believers are driven, convinced, empowered by a truth that supersedes what the world has, again, that we just shine brighter. And then that's actually the benefit of things getting worse. We actually shine brighter when the world gets darker. What does a bright light do in a dark room? It dispels darkness, right? Darkness cannot be in the presence of light. And so I think as Paul talks about, you shine like stars, it dispels the darkness. Even the darkness that, again, there's more in quantity, there's more darkness in the universe than there is light. And yet what do you see? You see the light. You recognize it in spite of how dark things are. And so therefore, you shine like stars in the universe. But it only works as you hold out the word of life. This will only happen. You'll only shine like stars in the universe, as it says in verse 16 here, as you hold out the word of life. And I think oftentimes, moms, that's what you're doing. I'm hoping that's about godliness. I'm hoping that's about truth. I hope it's about the gospel. I hope it's about the Spirit. I hope it's about, you know, regarding the word and living in a way consistent with it, but you hold it out. And that, on one level, that word hold out means like you're offering someone. It actually would be like you're offering someone a drink. Hey, how'd you like this? You know, something that I always say about the gospel is the gospel really is like getting a present. And if someone gives you a present, the only way that present becomes yours is if you take it. The beauty of God, the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of the sacrifice of Christ is the only thing that is necessary for you to do is accept it. And so, mom, as you hold out the word of life to your children primarily, They are the most place you will be most effective in terms of the influence you would have. You're just offering something. Again, you don't need to make your children do something, but you offer something to them. Like, I've got something that is for your benefit. I've got something that will help you. I've got something that will bring peace to your heart. It'll bring security to you. It will help you figure out relationships. I'm offering that to you. That word hold out or hold out can also hold on to or hold fast to something. And so I oftentimes when Paul uses a word that could be translated this way or translated that way, I think Paul does it because he wants us to think of it in both terms. That in some ways, when we think about our relationship with the Word of Life, basically we hold it out as an offer to someone, but then we hold fast to it. That we recognize that the only reason why we can be the way we are is because of who God is. Like, the only way you can be the mother that you ultimately would want to be, but what God would want you to be, is if you hold fast to the truth. And I tell you, the only way to hold fast to the truth is to have the truth written on your hearts. The point of the Bible is not to be able to read it and find the principles. Oh, let me find that verse that tells me this or that. The point of the scripture is have it written on your hearts so not it becomes the default. And that doesn't happen 52 times a year. That's not, well, I come to church every Sunday and I'm learning the Word of God. No, you're not. You're learning the principles of God, maybe. You're being exposed to the truth of God, but the Word is not being written on your heart. That is that daily engagement with the Word that allows the Word of God to transform and infuse and become part of your thinking, renewing your mind so that now the Word is written on your heart. See, that's the point where now all of a sudden you're not kind because, oh, I've got to grit my teeth and be kind. No, you're kind just because it's the natural thing that comes out of you because your mind is being transformed, you're being renewed. You know, and realize this is something that is true for a 10-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 6-year-old. I don't care what age you are. Your mind needs to be renewed. You know, the world would talk about brain. Your brain needs to be washed. And it needs to be washed by the Word of truth. But you're holding fast to that. You know, I was dealing with the Trail Life boys. And what was I dealing with? I did the sower and the seed. Yeah, I think it was with the sower and the seed. And, like, God's Word, a time like this, boys, these are like 5 to 10-year-olds, this is not going to be like playing a video game. Being at a Bible study or learning the Bible isn't going to be like playing a sport. Like, you're not going to get all revved up in your mind or revved up in your, oh, isn't this so exciting? I made a shot. But it's the most important thing you can do. And so therefore, what is lacking in what is intellectual stimulation or emotional stimulation, physical stimulation, in faith, you have to embrace that to say, this is the most important thing I do. And great, you can shoot baskets, but do you know who God is? Great, you can figure out formulas. Is God's Word written on your heart? And again, in God's Word written on your heart is not about, when I get to become an adult, I'll have the Word of God written. No, there's no reason why a 7-year-old can't have the Word of God written on their hearts. A 10-year-old can't have the Word of God written on their hearts. And so again, you listen, you pay attention to the things of God because that shows your desire, that shows what you're pursuing. And even though it's hard, again, even though it's not like the video game, it's better. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. But that's what, you know, we're holding out the Word of Life. You're holding fast to something as well. I mean, both are necessary for people to be impacted. Moms, you have to be transformed by the Word of Life first. Like, you have to hold fast to it yourself. And then as you think about offering it, because offering something, that is external to you will not have impact. To offer someone to something else that you don't have, I know this truth, let me hold it out to you, but I'm not transformed by the truth. That doesn't work. See, what works is when I'm holding fast myself. Your kids see that you are desperately dependent on God. Yes, you catch me praying. Yes, you catch me reading the Word. Yes, you catch me talking about God in terms of how He is supporting my life, that what my life is oriented to Him. Yes. So when you're holding it fast, when you hold it out, it's going to be genuine. It's going to be more impactful because it's real. Yeah, do you all promise just to come next week? I'll end right now. If everyone here, if you're here just for Mother's Day, there's a great Mother's Day point to making these next verses. But my wife is also doing communion, so I'm looking forward to that. Okay. So let's just, because I think there's an important point here in terms of, like, as Paul turns his attention from really Jesus to himself. Again, he talks about in verse 16, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. And so what Paul is saying effectively here is that Philippians, I am all in when it comes to the gospel. I am all in when it comes to truth. Mothers, you are all in when it comes to your care for your kids. Run, labor, yes. Doing it all that needs to be done for the sake of other people. That is, again, a better part of your heart that God has placed there. But the running and laboring, you know, in terms of what Paul is doing for their sake. And so there's this next slide. So run and labor, that just talks about how much Paul strove. And again, I think it's representative of mothers. But part of his joy is based in their positive response. So I think, moms, you get this. And that's where I say, I think you're a bit more connected to this. You're more connected personally to the success of your children. You care more about it. Again, that men can just disconnect. At worst, men care when it's convenient. And at best, men care when I can do something about it. Men are engaged, like, you need me, I'm here, then I'm here. And I care because I can do so. But give me something that I care about that I can't do. At least men's ability to disconnect from that. Mothers, you have less of an ability to disconnect yourself from your children. So as Paul says, yeah, part of my invigoration for ministry, Paul is saying, is the fact that you respond, that you do well. Like I've had an effect. Like, particularly as you are being godly, particularly as you want to save your kids, bring them to the gospel, promote godliness in their life, love for God, appreciation of Christ, living in the Spirit, living in the course and purpose that God has for the life. Yes, that's what we all want as parents, right? But you moms, you are more indelibly connected to that. I think it also causes us to question what makes ministry successful. See, on some level, ministry is successful when people respond, right? We do the summer celebration. 5 people got saved. 5 people, you know, came to the gospel. We invited 20 people to the event. Wow, it was successful. That's one part. But there's another part that is just about our effort. See, and I'll end with this, Mom, so we can get to communion. You just have to recognize that you being you in the way God wants you to be is successful. And it doesn't matter how your kids respond. We can all be glad, no, our kids turned out right. They're doing what they're supposed to do. I had an impact. Awesome. And you're in Paul's, I want to go before Jesus, Paul says, And I want to recognize that I was successful in what I was doing because you're there and you're glorifying God, and I'll get more glory. I'll appreciate being for Jesus. That's what Paul is saying. And I think, moms, you get that. But you also have to recognize that you're not responsible for that. You're responsible for your message, your life, your heart. And as long as you are holding out the word of life and being consistent with it, then you have done your job. And so therefore, you're not responsible. See, I think in some ways, men are able to think about a care that's not about responsibility. And you ladies just have a harder time not connecting those. Like, I care for what my kids do, but I'm not responsible for them. Okay, you wanted to reject the truth. I'm not personally, but you get like there's just a greater disconnect that I can get as a man than you can. And again, if you're not like whenever I make distinctions like that, if you're not that way, it means you're broken. Men, if you're a little bit more like the female, that doesn't mean you're broken. It's just different things that affect that dynamic. So maybe I could just talk about me. And if you align, I can talk about my wife. And if you align with that. But it's fitting to talk at Mother's Day of all you are as a mother and God being gladdened by that because you're just being faithful. And not assessing what God thinks about what you have been based in your kid's response. Because I think there's a place to say, I'm not responsible. I did what I was supposed to do, presented what I was supposed to present, and then it's up to them. And so I was hoping to get being poured out like a drink offering, because I think women, you oftentimes feel like you're poured out like a drink offering. But we'll have to wait till next week for that. Let's bow and let's pray. And so, Father, we just do thank you for motherhood. We thank you for all that you have established in your kingdom that allows a mother to be who she is. And really, that does start with Christ. That really does start with salvation. It does start with the cross. And so how fitting to celebrate communion on Mother's Day, to recognize how Jesus in the cross just makes us right with God and therefore makes us right with ourselves. And so, Father, I just pray that anyone here that doesn't know Jesus in a personal way would come to that knowledge, come to that faith, accept Christ, and just understand in a greater way the whole point of what you're trying to accomplish in our lives. And so bless our time as we seek to remember Jesus well. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When we come together to participate.